Are you changing old habits? Are you changing old patterns in your life? I love this series, not just because of how it challenges me, but as I talk to people, one of the things that I hear is that you are excited about it, or that people, many of us are challenged in the same way on what this subject is and what we're dealing with and how we go through this ourselves. I believe, as I've said in this series, I believe that God readies our hearts for new things when it comes to the first of the year. And I believe that we sense that God has something new for us. That there's almost like an inherent need for change when it comes to the first of the year. And so what happens is we create resolutions for the change that we want to see. And here's the challenge, as we've talked about, this is a fill-in on your notes. Most people have uphill hopes and downhill habits. We have great desires, but our habits don't take us towards those desires. We tend to curb and change behavior with resolutions when God wants to internally change us through the habits that we have in our life. And the scripture that we're looking at is Romans 12, where it says this: fix your attention. In the Message, it says, fix your attention on God, and you'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you and develops well-formed maturity in you. I don't know about you. I love that. I love the idea that God brings out well-formed maturity. A lot of times we think that it's our goal and it has a lot to do with us. But God is the one who is bringing out this well-formed maturity in us. So when it comes to habits and new behaviors, another fill-in on your notes is we form habits and then our habits form us. We form the habits in our life, and then these habits in turn start shaping our lives. Many people come to the first of the year with these new hopes, but we have no steps that take us in the direction of those hopes. We all need uphill habits. In fact, another fill-in that I think is just really important is these biblical habits shape and form godly people. That's who God's trying to make us into. That's how God is shaping us. But biblical habits, these small adjustments in our lives, actually shape and form godly behavior that God's wanting to do in us. We've made this statement, I said this last week, and I like the idea. It says, successful people do consistently what other people just do occasionally. And that's true physically, financially, it's true spiritually. In every area of our life, successful people do consistently what other people just do occasionally. So most of the habits that we have in our lives are downhill, because downhill habits are easy, but downhill habits don't bring change that we need. The life that God may be calling, the guy that God is calling you to, is challenging. It's not that it's not doable, it's challenging because it's uphill. But God is there to help us, and we've got to remember that God is with us to help us in the changes that He's making in our lives. So we're not looking for change that we can make with willpower. We need to experience a change that comes through experiencing God's power in our lives. It's not about willpower. This is something we're looking at through God's power in our life. So the first habit that we talked about was we need to get close to God. That's an important habit for our lives. It's that we would live and reside close to God throughout the year. The other habit, let me just say this about that habit, is we're as close to God as we choose to be, all of us. You personally are as close to God as you choose to be. Because Scripture tells us, come close to God and He will come close to you. And a lot of times we just kind of think, you know what, I'm going to stay here and just kind of watch what God does. The other habit we looked at is putting God first. We've got to put God first in our lives. It's a habit that changes our lives. And one of the points that we talked about last week was priorities are more than a list in our head. Priorities about what we do first, every day, consistently. This third habit I love. And I love it because it challenges me, and it's not easy, and I know that today's going to challenge all of us. I know that. Let it challenge you. But habit number three is God wants us to control our thoughts. It's an important habit that we need in our lives, to control our thoughts. It might be one of the most important habits that you can develop in your life, and yet it's probably one of the most overlooked habits that we have in our lives. When it comes to our thoughts, we need to remember this. Downhill thoughts are not part of an uphill life. Proverbs tells it this way. carefully guard your thoughts because they are the source of true life. Guard your thoughts. They are the source of true life. And in fact, if you look back over your life, significant moments of life change happen when our thinking changes, actually. How we think affects everything in our life, affects every area of our life. It affects how we see ourselves and how we see others, whether we're critical or optimistic. How you think affects whether or not you believe what God can do or what God can't do. How you think determines your level of frustration or your anxieties. All of these things are a part of our lives and our thinking process. So if you're not sure that your thoughts are important, then consider this. Who you are today is a result of your thinking. If you're not really sure if this is an important topic for you, just consider that fact. Who you are today is a result of your thinking process. Because our lives can't change until we change the way that we think. In fact, I would even say it this way. God can't change us until we allow God to change the way that we think. You may want your life to change, but it doesn't begin in the doing. It begins in the thinking, because our thinking is that essential. It comes before the doing. Here's how the Message says it. Wise thinking leads to right living. Stupid thinking leads to wrong living. It's your choice. It's how we choose to think. It's not just you were born into it. It's not just that this is something that you're destined to. We have to control our thoughts. So let me remind you of three important principles. First of all, everything begins with a thought. Everything. If I ask you a simple question, are you a man or a woman of God? If I ask you that question, what do you think about? What's your response to that? You don't have to answer that out loud. But when I say, are you a man or a woman of God? How do you think about that? Because how you think about that determines how well that's going to be a part of your life. If you think, no, there's no way I'm not a man of God, or I'm not a woman of God, then you'll never try. You'll never desire it. You'll never come close. You'll never allow it to change your identity. If you say, hey, I can't do that because I'm not good enough, that's another part of it. It's another part of how you think. See, the things that we do well and the things that we don't do well are created in these patterns of our thoughts. So if we try to change behavior without changing our thoughts that fuel these behaviors, then our behaviors never get changed. And this is really important because what we allow into our minds, especially the first part of the day, and it's not just the first part, but I'm going to say it's especially the first part of the day, it starts our thoughts in a direction for the day. It actually sets a tone for how we think. It sets the feeling of the day, if you would. And we have to be careful, because it can happen just as fast as turning on the news. It can happen just as fast as pulling up social media. It's not that any of those things are bad, but just we get exposed to things and it immediately sets our thoughts in a direction. Everything begins with a thought process. Even the new things that God wants to do in us, they begin with new thoughts. Romans 12:2 in the New Living Translation says it this way, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. God wants to do that. Here's the second principle. First one is everything begins with a thought. Second principle is what we think determines how we feel. We tend to be people that blame other people, or we blame things. You might blame people at work, or you might blame your spouse, or you might blame your boss, or it might be things like traffic or my car or whatever it might be. We have these things and these people that we blame because they make us feel a certain way. But those things are not the things that affect how you feel. It's how and what you think about those things that determines how you feel. That's how important these thought processes are in our life. I tend to think this way. Many people don't have an anger problem. They have a thinking problem. We have to have a filter on our minds, what we allow in. In fact, if I could just get really practical here for a moment, I'd like to challenge you. I know that we're in this 21-day fast. And I know that that might be kicking some of your tails a little bit. It's a little bit difficult, but I'm going to step it up a little bit. And I would like to encourage you to step it up a little bit, possibly in this area. Remember, I understand that this is a challenge, and I understand it's not easy. We're not doing this to impress God. This is a discipline that affects us, and it benefits us. But here's a challenge I'd like to kick in just for a week. If you can do it for a week, do it as long as you can. And that's it. That's this. Eliminate all media for this week. All media. Social media, Netflix, the news, TV, video games, also secular music. Try fasting or try developing this fast for your mind, because all those things are inputs that come into our mind that we become accustomed to. And they become these things that are part of our thoughts, and they affect how we feel. And a lot of times, most of us go through life with absolutely no filters. It's just bombarded with these thoughts. And we need a detox, as it were, of this negative stuff that we allow into our lives. I'm just telling you, if you feel like you can't do it, then there's no pressure. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. This is just to help you. It's something I'm doing. For the week, I'm going to see how long I can do it, but no media. Nothing that comes in. I'm using it as a filter. And then what we're going to do is we're going to replace it with just worship music. No secular music, just worship music. And the reason why I'm saying that is because worship music builds you up. It feeds you, while everything else tears you down. It undermines everything. It's a negative message. Just do it and test it and see. I guarantee you that you will find this test to prove this scripture that says this in Philippians 4. If you think about things that are true and noble and right and pure and lovely and admirable, things that are excellent and praiseworthy, then the God of peace will be with you. You want to experience this peace? Then you've got to put in the thought process that brings God's peace into your life. Listen, I can't change your circumstances. I can't do that for you. I wish I could. But listen, as your pastor, I want to point you to someone who can bring your life peace. I can't change the circumstances to allow peace to be a part of your life, but I can help you and point you in that direction, but it's up to you to make the changes. Here's the third principle. Your thoughts will determine where you are this time next year. Your thoughts will determine where you are this time next year. Or another way, your thoughts are going to determine your destiny and direction for your life. Who you are today is a byproduct of your thinking. Your life will always move in the direction of your strongest thoughts. Can I say that again so it just sinks in? Our lives will always move in the direction of our strongest thoughts, what we continue to think. Another way of saying that is we will always rise to the level of our thoughts. You will always rise to the level of your thoughts. And if your thoughts are way down here, if your thoughts are negative, guess what? That's where your life rises to. Listen to how it's said in Romans 5. If you are dominated by the sinful nature, you will think about sinful things. You hear this? But if you are controlled by the Holy Spirit, you will think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life. And there it comes again, peace. That second part of that verse really says it plainly. So I want to look at five things really quick, five practical ways to practice a good thought life, or maybe to develop these habits that control our thoughts. 2 Corinthians 10, you can write that down. It's not on your notes, but 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5 tells us that the way that we overcome the enemy and the tactics of the enemy in our life is we have to take captive every thought and bring it into obedience of Christ. Every thought in your life, because the enemy uses our thoughts to bring discouragement, to bind us, to rob us of our identity, to believe lies. And Paul calls us in 2 Corinthians, if you're going to overcome the enemy, you've got to take every thought and make it captive. So how do we do this? Shows that our thoughts are important. First of all, we have to have a plan that shapes our thoughts. You have to have a plan that shapes your thoughts. For many people, our thoughts are being shaped by media and internet and music and friends, and not just about what we think, but how we think. We need an accountability person with us, an accountability partner, as it will, someone who can be honest with us and protect our thoughts, a filter for accountability's sake that we need in our life. And a great plan to shape your thoughts is to get into your Bible, read your Bible. It's more than a discipline. We've got to learn to consume it and let it change our thoughts, how you think and what you think. Let the Bible change what you think about yourself, how you think about others, how you think about the challenges that you face. We all have challenges, but I think a lot of times we look at challenges and our thought process does not support that we have a God who serves, that we serve and who's with us in the challenges and who's greater than the challenges that we face. See, I don't know, are things hopeless in your life because your thoughts don't include God? The Bible is powerful. It's unlike any other book. In fact, Hebrews 4 says it this way, "For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between the soul and the spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires." Other translations say it judges the thoughts and attitudes of our heart. That's what the Bible does. That's what it's designed to do. It gets all up in your business, if you would. And it's supposed to do that. Someone said, and I don't know who said it, but it's a great quote, I think. Don't read the Bible, let the Bible read you. It's a great concept when we spend time with God that we're not just reading words, we're letting the Word of God read us. Another way to develop habits that control our thoughts is we have to have a place to express our thoughts. So we have to have a plan that shapes them, but we also need a place to express our thoughts. At some place in your day, the world's volume needs to be turned down, even if it's just for 5 minutes, so that we can put our focus on God. And we have to have a place for God to speak to us while we're speaking to God. And of course, I'm talking about prayer and taking time to spend it with God. Another way of saying it is we need to spend some time every single day talking with God. I mean, we all know it. Our lives are crazy busy a lot of times, but we need to slow our lives down enough to talk with God and bring Him into our life. It's a habit. Remember, this is not just something that comes easy. It's something that we have to allow to be developed. Isaiah 26 says this, "You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you." Another way to develop this habit that controls our thoughts is this. We have to have people or a person to stretch our thoughts. We have to have people that stretch our thoughts. I don't know. We have to be careful who we allow to shape our thought process. We have to make this conscious effort to have people that will shape godly thoughts through faith and through prayer and through love. We tend to surround ourselves with people that are not always the best for us. They might be a lot like us, but they're not the best for us. And I think this is an important discipline that shapes the habits and shapes our thoughts. And one of the things that I suggest, and we are always pushing people, and that's to attend a connection group. Because you put yourself in an atmosphere with people that are going to stretch your thoughts. Scripture says, "Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Let us not neglect meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that we see the day of His returning drawing near." Some people believe you can do this on your own, and I've never seen it done. I think we need God and we need others. So do you have a place? Do you have people that will encourage you, believe in you more than you believe in yourself? People that will see your potential and speak about it. People that will even prophesy over you. Much like Jesus did with Peter, when Peter was there and Jesus said, "You know what, you are a rock, you're solid, and I'm going to build my church on you." And at that moment, Peter was not anything but solid. It was Jesus prophesying, and you know what, when people start prophesying and seeing in you what you don't see in yourself, that's when God steps in and starts bringing about this change that we need. We need people that make God bigger than our thoughts are currently. Another way to develop these habits that control our thoughts is we have to have a purpose that inspires our thoughts. I think some of the most important thoughts that we have are why we are on this planet. My experience is the most miserable people that I see are detached and unaware of their purpose of being here on this earth. Life just becomes a series of activities, a series of obligations, if you would. People are detached and unaware of their purpose here on this world, in this world. And we get so caught up with our circumstances, so taken away with the emotions and our feelings, that we don't see God's purpose in our lives and we're just detached from it. God's purpose for our lives is always tied to people. It's always about people. God has a purpose for every single one of us. And that purpose is always about His kingdom and it's always about people. So when our thoughts about people are absent of love, we become detached from God's purpose. Our thoughts become negative. We become critical of other people because we are detached from our purpose, and that is to build up the people that are around us. We're not here to judge others. We're not here to be critical of others. In fact, I was praying this morning as I was walking around here is, just, God, give us your eyes for people. Help us to see people like you see them. God has a plan and a purpose for you, but we'll never connect with it. We can't experience it when our thoughts are not fueled by God. Another way we connect to this is we have to have a power to fuel our thoughts. What powers your thoughts? What fuels them? Is it fear? Is it anger? Is it hurt? Is it greed? Is it pride? Or is it love? What fuels your thoughts? It's a big issue because there's many of us that need to be healed. Your thoughts can't change until you experience healing. And only God can bring the healing that we need. But as God reveals His purpose for our lives, His purpose is always going to be too big. His purpose is always going to be overwhelming. You're going to think, this is something that's bigger than me and I can't do it. And the truth is, you're right. We need God to enable us to believe that He's called us to do what we're doing, to love and to serve people. We have to open our lives to the power of the Holy Spirit. We need God's Spirit to fuel our thoughts of what He can do and what He wants to do in our lives. If we don't open our hearts to the power of the Holy Spirit, we will never believe that God can do in us what He wants to do in us. We'll keep telling ourselves, I can't. We'll keep telling ourselves, I'm not good enough. Let me say it again. We will always rise to the level of our thoughts. Here's what Paul says. He says, our God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to His power that works within us. God is able to do way more than you could ever ask or think. Let His power, let His presence fuel your thoughts. Do me a favor and just close your eyes for a moment. I want to read something that I was writing out that just might help us understand just how important our thoughts are, because you know what? I don't know what your life is like, but I don't know if these are your thoughts. I think they should be. And I want you just to listen with an open heart of what God can do through these thoughts. I establish that Jesus is first in my life, and I exist to glorify Him every day. I love my spouse, and I will lay down my life for them. I will inspire my children to serve and love God. It is my privilege, and I give that responsibility to no one else. I am who God says that I am, not what others say that I am. I'm growing closer to Jesus every day. I am anointed, empowered, and equipped and called to reach people far from God. I choose for Christ to be my filter, and every thought must be subject to His Lordship today. I wake up with purpose and direction for my life. I love people and I believe the best about others. Christ in me is stronger than the wrong desires that are in me. I inspire others to follow Jesus. It is who I am. The world will be better because I serve Jesus today. I am a servant of the Most High God. Those are some thoughts that govern our life. Those are some thoughts that bring purpose and direction, that remind us of why you're here and what God wants to do in you, that reminds us that God is greater. Greater is He that is in you than he that's in the world. Father, we come to you today, and Father, we need you in a very real way. We need a filter of your word that changes how we think and changes what we think. And I just ask today that you would help us to be people that have control of our thoughts, that our thoughts are subject to your lordship, they are subject to you, that we take these thoughts in our life and make them obedient to you. Father, help us to have the strength, help us to have the courage and the ability to trust you. Father, I know that there are many that are here even today and that this is the furthest thing from their thought process. They've bought into a lie that says they're not good enough. They bought into a lie that says they're not enough. Father, I pray that you would change the thoughts that change our identity, that you would change the thoughts that change our behavior. Father, may we be children of the Most High God, and may it begin with your word within us. May our thoughts be of faith. May our thoughts be of purpose and love as we exist to love and serve you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.